Everybody, welcome to episode 73 of Tuesdays with Perry. We're going to get Perry on the line in just a second. I'm having trouble connecting here, so just bear with me. So today we're going to be talking about property rights and squatters. There was that famous story that was broadcast about the woman in Queens who owned the house and she couldn't get the people out of her house that were squatting there. And actually, she's the one that ended up going to jail or getting arrested. We're also going to talk about Red Heifers, Megiddo, Hamas in Israel, what's happening in Gaza. And we're going to talk about the U.S. pushing the world to the brink of World War III. We're going to talk a little bit about Haiti. And we're going to talk about Trump's bond deadline looming for Monday. It's not even Friday, and I guess Letitia James is already already getting ready to seize Trump Tower. So, hold on. Yeah, I don't know why it's not connecting here. Hold on. Of course, not ready. We're going to have to switch phones. I don't know what the hell happened there. Excuse me. This phone is dying, so just bear with me a second here. Maybe this one is pairing. Now, if I can't connect with this one, we're going to have a little bit of a problem, so. All right, hold on. Hold on, folks. All right. Well, let's just get Perry on the line now that we got everything connected.
Greetings and salutations from Sarasota, Florida.
Hey, Perry, how are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm loving life tonight, Rudy. I'm sitting out here on the balcony of my hotel room overlooking a gorgeous high-end marina, and facing me on the other side of the marina is the Ritz-Carlton. It's gorgeous.
That sounds wonderful. Well, thanks for joining me tonight in this special edition of Tuesdays with Perry on Thursday. I'm having a bunch of technical difficulties that just popped up right there. I couldn't get my phone connected. So I had to switch phones and then plug this phone in. So thanks for bearing with me. So tonight, Perry, we're going to talk about a couple of things you wanted to talk about, which was the property rights and the squatters. Nationally, really, we're having a problem with property rights. But there was that specific story coming out of Queens, New York, where the woman was arrested for trying to get squatters out of her house. And then you wanted to talk about Red Heifers. And then we'll also go into World War III, Haiti, and Trump's bond deadline. Apparently, Letitia James is already drooling over seizing Trump Tower. But let's start with the Red Heifers and what's going on in Israel. What does that mean, and what have you heard?
Well, it's actually quite fascinating. Trying to break it down in simple jargon, Red Heifer is very important to spiritual Jews. With regard to the return, I'm sorry, I happen to be Messianic, but to most Jews, the Red Heifer is important because you have to purify what will be newly constructed whenever it happens, Third Temple. And in order for there to be a Third Temple, you need to have a Red Heifer to slaughter and use the blood of to cleanse the grounds of that building, of that structure. All of that has to happen in order for the Messiah to arrive. That coincides with Christian Testament in order for the Messiah to return. So all these things have to happen. Well, what's going on right now in Gaza is tied to the red heifer.
How so?
Israel, for the last 25 years, has had at least one red heifer that I know of that was considered pure by the high rabbi and available to sacrifice when the time comes. But what I didn't know is that until today, it's actually the 10th red heifer. Well, the reason why that's interesting is because a month before Hamas attack on Israel in October, the Israelis imported 5 red heifers from, of all places, Texas. And when the members of Hamas learned about this importation, it harkened them back to the Grand Mufti of the 1920s, who knew the time in Greater Palestine under that of the British Mandate, were preparing for the coming of the Messiah and cleansing the Temple Mount of the abomination currently known as the Al-Aqsa Mosque.
Right.
And so the Grand Mufti was quickly, because of all the trouble he stirred up, there were mass murders in the streets of Palestine, and it was all Jewish blood. And so the Brits were like, we've had enough of this troublemaker, we're getting rid of him. And they ended up letting him run off to, of all places, oh, that's right, Nazi Germany. And I don't need to get into that story tonight about how the Grand Mufti came up with a way to round up the Jews in Eastern Europe on behalf of the Nazis. As a matter of fact, there were many of his followers that were a special brigade of Nazi SS troops. That's historically proven. That's not something that you have to dig out of a Bible. You can go to any Holocaust Remembrance Museum, and you will find all the Nazi documentation there. So full circle now.
Yep.
Let's talk about time. Right now, the reason for the attack into Israel was to start a major war and hopefully prevent the Israelis from moving forward with their long-term plan. That's what this was about, because it goes back to carrying out the wishes of the Grand Mufti of 100 years ago. So that's what this is about. That's what the red heifer is about. It's all about religious purity. And the fact that the members of Hamas obviously don't want that to happen. They do not want the Messiah to return.
They don't want to be, so you need the red heifers to rebuild the third rebuilding of the temple.
Yes.
And that is going to issue the coming of the Messiah for us Christians, or I guess you're a Messianic Jew, for the second coming.
For you and I, because I'm Messianic and you're a Christian, for you and I, it is the second coming. For my Jewish brothers and sisters, it will be the arrival.
Right. So
he's the same man.
Right. So Hamas is trying to upset this because they learned of the red heifers that Israel had imported from Texas?
Correct. Now, that I didn't know until today.
Oh, and so that was prior to October 7th.
That was back in September. And that's why they put the plan, because that plan that they had was prepared just 9/11, and just like COVID, all these plans were designed many, many months in advance.
Yeah.
And they were waiting for their opportunity to carry it out. And after learning of this information about the 5 red heifers having been imported from Texas, that's when they put their plan for 10/7 into motion.
That's really interesting. We're definitely sleepwalking towards World War III. And this is just more evidence that we're definitely headed towards a conflagration.
Right. And that's the thing that really concerns me, because if you put that together with what's happening in Ukraine, and when you look at what the Chinese very recently, within the last week or two, warned NATO, if you put boots on the ground, we will enter the war. So you put that threat from China together with what is currently going on in Ukraine, and then you add the supernatural things that are taking place right now in Israel, whether or not you have other Arab nations that decide to pick up arms against Israel or not, you still have to worry about the Persians. And the Persians have said they're looking for the opportunity to carry out their wishes for the destruction of Israel. So there are a lot of pieces falling into place. And then when you add to it the destruction of our currency, the fact that gold is now over $20 an ounce, the fact that you have the stock market is going crazy. And by crazy, I don't mean good crazy. You know, a lot of people say, well, it's reaching new highs than ever. Yeah, it's got new highs, and then it has ridiculous lows. And depending on what side of that equation you're on, you could lose your entire net.
Right.
So all points to chaos in the world as we know it.
Apparently, Taiwan today admitted that there are American troops on the ground there in Taiwan.
Oh, God.
And that is not making the communist Chinese very happy in the least. Apparently, they flew a sortie of 54 fighter bombers over Taiwan after learning about that.
Well, again, when we consider what it is that's leading our country, there's a lot to be fearful of. When you have a military that's not one single branch of the military, whether it's the Marines or whether it's the Coast Guard, no one is fulfilling their quotas, right, second year in a row. And you have thrown out, because of COVID, some of the most elite members of your fighting force. And then you add in the fact that the Pentagon has now demanded that the rank and file accept fluidity in genderism within the ranks. We don't have a military that is prepared to go to war. No. And it's shocking.
No. A matter of fact, we're quite unready. And if I were the Chinese, I'd attack now. I mean, Joe Biden is a weak president.
Well, one of the few things I've been wrong on with my prognostication is that I told your listeners last summer the Chinese were waiting until October because the China Sea is far more calm after October than it is during the summer months. Kind of similar to our Mediterranean and our Caribbean.
Yeah.
And I thought for sure, with all the sorties they were doing then, they were getting ready to launch a strike. But in addition to what the Chinese are doing there, I didn't take into account what they were doing in Central and South America. They have basically conquered the Americas. And so there was a reason for them to not go to war over Taiwan yet. Now they're setting up bases, not so much in Cuba. Yeah, they've got a base in Cuba, but so do we. But they're now setting up bases in Colombia, Venezuela, in I believe it is, I want to say Ecuador. I could be wrong. But they're setting up bases.
Yeah, I know they're on the Honduras too, so.
Right, and I said Central America.
Yeah.
So we've given them every opportunity, and now what they want to do is they're in at this very moment in time, they're in the process of construction for, I think it's up to 5 different auto plants in, of all places, Mexico. They're going to build autos in Mexico. And remember, we have NAFTA. Any vehicle built in Mexico, because we have our own plants there, Ford, GM, Chrysler, they're all there. Okay. The Chinese are going to have plants right next door now. And do you think Biden is going to stop the importation of Chinese autos from Mexico?
Trump said he would. It'd be a
What is Trump? Right. Right.
He said it's going to be a bloodbath.
Oh, God. I love that.
Let's move on to Trump then as a segue. So Trump bond, his bond deadline looms Monday, and Letitia James, the AG in New York, is salivating over Trump Tower. What's your quick thought on that? How do you think that's going to play out? Apparently Trump is asking his donors for cash. They added $10 million penalty interest. So now it's $464 million.
So in other words, there's no such thing as a real number. They can make the number whatever they want now, huh?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, I'm sending my money. I don't, you know, if you've got 70, I don't know, Rudy, you got to do the math. You got 75 million people that are theoretically, maybe more, maybe 80 million, but let's just go with what he had last 4 years ago. He had 75 million people vote for him.
We all have to send him, $20?
Less than $20. If every one of those 75 million people were to send $10, that's $750 million.
Yeah.
Okay? And I'm no mathematician.
Obviously,
I've sent my money.
I'm not either. Yeah.
I've sent my money.
So what do you think happens? I doubt he's going to come up with the money. They're going to seize Trump Tower. I don't know
if they're going to seize Trump Tower. I know they're going to try. I don't know what trick he has up his sleeve, but I know he can pull it off. For all I know, because he loves drama, maybe he's going to show up truck and drop satchels on the desk of that piece of shit judge and say, "Here you go, motherfucker."
I think you should pay them in pennies.
For all debts, public and private.
Right, right, exactly. You're like 400 truckloads of pennies.
So be serious and answer your question. Yeah, I am never, just like he says, I will never surrender. He has a way of figuring this out.
Right.
On paper, he's worth billions. I don't know if 30 days is enough money in the time to come up with the cash. You and I have already spoken in private that this is the first time in history that I can point to where in the case of any civil matter settled in court where you were going for an appeal. And in most cases, you don't have to flick over even a penny during the appeal process. But you do have to be able to prove you have the financial ability to pay if you lose on appeal.
Yeah,
this is the first time in my
Ridiculous amount for a bond.
First of all, it's a ridiculous, the fact that we're even having this conversation about fraud when no fraud was committed, and the fact that a ridiculous number was instituted by a corrupt judge to say, yep, this is what I'm telling you. I am God here, and I am commanding you to pay this amount of money. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what your accountants think. It doesn't even matter what President Biden thinks.
Yeah.
I think, and you are going to pay it. Yeah. There is, if they can do this, and I've said this before, and Trump says it all the time, if they can do this to me, once they put me away, they'll come for you. And that's what this is all about.
Right.
That's what this is all about.
It's unprecedented, and it's punitive. The bond shouldn't be punitive, as Jonathan Turley laid out. So I want to move over, as long as we're in New York, I want to move over to the Queen story about the squatters that infiltrated this woman's house. I guess it was willed to her by her parents. It was her parents' house, and they died.
That's correct.
And she didn't realize that there were people in there. She went there were people in there, and they said they had the right to be there. She changed the locks and ended up getting arrested. And as you've mentioned plenty of times, is that there is a war on not just landlords, but on property rights. It's a Marxist war. It's a revolution against the American way and the idea of property rights.
That's exactly what this is. And the reason why I say it is, besides the obvious, I'm being denied my right of enjoying what is mine. My parents willed this to me. They earned money to buy this house, paid the taxes on this house for decades, and upon their death, they left this house to me. This house belongs to my family. It doesn't belong to you, New York City. It doesn't belong to the illegal aliens that have invaded our country and taken residency illegally in my house. It belongs to me. And you have no right, you have no legal authority to do this, and then at the same time demand I pay my property tax.
Yeah.
But in a banana republic of which our country has now become, there are no rules. It's whatever a judge or a magistrate says it is. There's no, we used to be a country that had equal justice under law. And now what we have is injustice and illegal and unequal rights under, for lack of a better word, dictatorship. Whether it's a law dictatorship controlled by judges and the judiciary as a organization, or whether it has to do with just one single judge. It's happening, as you said, all over the country. So for whatever reason, somebody can bring a legal action against me or her, and suddenly the other is entitled to take my property? Is that what this is? Well, if it is, then we no longer have a republic. What we have is a dictatorship.
Yeah. An authoritarian regime. This might be a good time to, I don't know if you saw the article in the New York Times that said, yeah, we do have a deep state and they're kind of great or something like that. And it goes off trying to explain that the deep state is a conspiracy theory. What people are really talking about is the civil servants that work at the EPA and the Veterans Administration or whatever. And they have this whole story about civil servants when that's not what the deep state is. The deep state is a parallel government, shadow government. And that's what we see here is it's an authoritarian regime that is acting as a shadow government, because they're doing things within the law without precedent. And that's scary, because law is based on precedent. And then when you make a precedent, it has to be argued and substantiated. You just can't have a judge saying, well, your bond is what the penalty, you know, your bond is what the penalty was. That's never happened before.
The reason why it's never happened before is because up until now, we were a country of laws, not a country of men. That's where the statement comes from. Are you a country of laws or are you a country of men? If you're a country of laws, then the law is applied equally. If you're a country of men, then it's whoever's in power at the time, like Baby Doc.
Yeah. And we'll move right on.
Or Papa Doc.
Yeah, Papa Doc. We'll move right on to Haiti.
That segue?
Yeah, that was a good segue. Because I've been reading up on Haiti. I'm pretty well versed in Haiti history. And there was I have to put it on the YouTube channel. There was a segment on CBS Sunday Morning about Haitian history, which basically explains why the Republic of Haiti has never been able to manifest itself into a successful independent sovereign republic, is because they had a slave revolution, and the powers that be, which they find out, if you have a independent republic or a country, that it is a world of republics and countries and whatnot, and you have to live with them. So they had this slave revolt in the late 18th century. I think they claimed independence in 1804. And not soon after, France came back, who originally held the colony. And said,
by the way, the French didn't come back and say, parlez-vous français.
No, they didn't. Okay. They said, give us what in today's dollars would be $6 billion. And it took them from 1806 to 1926 to repay that debt. So imagine where all that money would have gone to build the state rather than pay back the French. And during that time, they were continually infiltrated by other Western powers, most particularly the United States, who put in dictators like Papa Doc and Baby Doc, who built the militias known as the Tonton Macoute, or in French, Uncle Gunny Sack, because people started disappearing at the advent of this militia. It was a civilian militia that was given guns and authority by the regime. So it's a terrible circumstance there in Haiti. And I know you have some comparisons with the Dominican Republic just next door, and they do make some wonderful cigars over there, that even if you looked at a satellite photo, you could see Haiti is completely deforested, and that Dominican Republic is still lush, and they have a great tourist economy and what have you. And it's funny, when the earthquake hit, it didn't hit the Dominican Republic, it just hit Haiti. That's another conspiracy, along with the Clinton Foundation and disappearing children. But before you chime in here, I just want to relay the news that this morning it was reported that the gangs in Haiti have made their way to the wealthy elite neighborhoods and have killed all the inhabitants there and ransacked and looted the homes. So what's
you know why? Because all the rich people there were good, godless and, gun hating liberals. So they had no way to defend themselves.
Right. Well, yeah, it's quite hard in that circumstance, but there was an elite in Haiti, and they don't exist anymore. And a lot of this has to do with the fact that there was a manager, an administrator that was appointed by the West to govern Haiti. So there hasn't been a democracy there for some time. The West appointed administrator, sort of like they did to Detroit when in the United States, when Detroit went bankrupt and they had no way out. So Appointing an administrator and taking away a republic's democracy, I don't think is a good way to make a stable republic.
No, it's not. And, you know, I have from history, you know, I have a special place in my heart for the Haitian people. I was in Haiti for Thanksgiving last year. And I saw a lot of desperation. And I didn't really understand how bad it was. I knew it was horrible, but I didn't know it was this bad. And the fact of the matter is, as long as the West continues this unsustainable effort of destroying Haitian culture, and we're talking about more than a century now, really, there's never going to be a functional state. I don't understand why it is, of all places in the world, the United States just looks the other way, and yet we do. With what has taken place over the many decades since the turn of the last century, it seems like it just goes from bad to worse. And what I never quite understood is they share a fucking island with the Dominican Republic. Now, I've been to both countries. And, you know, the Dominican Republic is no panacea of perfection when it comes to economy. But you know what? Their streets are illuminated at night. Everybody has a home. Everybody has electricity. To the best of my knowledge, has running water. Many do go to school. Not everyone. It is a poor country. But many do go to school. They actually have a healthcare system. They have law and order. They have all the things that a modern society has. And yet, they share an island with a totally dysfunctional society. I don't know what the answer is to save Haiti. I really don't. It just breaks my heart that it continues to happen. And, you know, hopefully when Trump gets back into office, maybe he'll pay closer attention to it. I'm going to say something you're not going to like, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners will disagree with me. But if we really give a shit about Haiti, it is time that we send troops to restore order and allow the Haitian people to select who they want representing them in a democratic republic. And once they select their leaders through the vote, and once they, and at the same time, we help them economically, not by giving them money like we've always done, but giving them the tools they need to build homes, to build factories. Maybe we go in and allow General Electric or Westinghouse to build a modern power plant, whether it's oil or gas or some other form of fuel, and allow them to collect payment for services rendered until the Haitian people can buy the power plant. It may take 50 years. But you don't, we have to do something.
You don't think maybe a solar farm or wind power?
Okay, I was trying to be serious.
Sorry. So you think that we should send in the Marines like we did in 1913 to restore order there? You think that's the right move?
I think if we really give a damn, yes.
Yeah,
it is.
My
problem. It is something, and I know what your problem is with that, and I'm not saying you're wrong at all. I'm just saying as an American who's always believed that we are the best country in the world, if we can't help our neighbors, in our own fucking hemisphere. How can we be a superpower?
Right.
All the Haitian people need is an opportunity to have a government, social system formulated on the policies that they want, and it takes time. I'm not saying the Marines would be there for a week, a month, or even a year. It might be 5 years. But we still have troops in Japan, Korea, and Germany. Okay? To have to put a brigade, I don't even think you need a division. If you were to put a brigade of Marines in Port-au-Prince, and that's really where you don't have to worry about the hills. You have to worry about the city.
Yeah.
If you were to restore order, not law, that's up to the Haitian people, how they want law to be formulated. If you were to restore order in the streets of Port-au-Prince so that people can feel safe trying to go out and find a job, there's plenty to do. And with a few American dollars, you could turn that economy around literally overnight. It doesn't take much.
I think we should send Sean Penn back there. maybe he could bargain with barbecue.
Well, you know what happens on, I think it's April 2nd, don't you? I know you're not a sports fan, but it's important. You know what happens on April, I think it's April 2nd.
What's that?
The first day of regular baseball season. Do you know where Major League Baseballs are manufactured?
Dominican Republic.
You're really close.
Haiti.
Haiti.
Is that right?
It's been that way since Ty Cobb or even longer.
Oh, that's an interesting little trivia tidbit there. Well, yep. I think something should be done, especially with all this talk about people are so worried about dredging up chattel slavery from 100 years ago. People should really look into the history of Haiti, and if they were really worried about freeing people from the 100-year-old shackles of slavery, we should do more to help Haiti. After all, they were the first independent republic. So
that's a good point. Yeah. And black.
Yeah. Well, the first black nation, the first black republic, free republic. And so people should be really concerned about helping that country if they're all concerned about race relations and the legacy of slavery, because this had nothing to do with the United States. This had to do with French. And it had to do with Napoleon also double-crossing him, because if people look at the chronology about the French Revolution and them promising the same thing that we promised here, the individual rights for people, they ran into the same thing in Haiti that we did here with slavery. How could you promise individual rights to people and still maintain slavery? So,
Good point.
So what do you?
And we all know what happened during the French Revolution.
Right. Well, right. I mean, we still have the Jacobins around today, so can't get rid of those fuckers. And you know, if there was no French Revolution, no socialism. So if people don't,
well, exactly,
if people really didn't know where socialism came from, it came from the French Revolution. So although many, I think there were how many republics were they? Four French republics. The early republics were not as just as we would have liked. So,
well, you could say the same thing about our latest form of judicial prudence here in this country, can't we?
Yeah, I think so. Well, at least we don't have Robespierre and the guillotine out in the street. Although.
Although, no, we have Dr. Fauci.
Although Antifa and the Jacobins often run around bringing guillotines into the street and chopping off not real heads, but
effigies.
Effigies. Yeah.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something: is that those guillotines are functional, unlike the stupid gallows that they erected on January 6th for Mike Pence. That was a prop. And you still right. have the mainstream media running around, go, oh, they got to set up a gallows for Mike Pence. I go, you couldn't hang someone from that thing. It's just ridiculous.
It was nothing more than a prop.
Yeah.
That's all it was.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. And you know what? That's a conversation for another night.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to leave it at the point where this was not an insurrection.
Oh.
And I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
And the fact that people of authority are now coming out and saying, yeah, it wasn't an insurrection. It was a riot.
Well, right. Well, the FBI said it wasn't an insurrection in February of that year. Mm-hmm. So that's
But you didn't hear that, did you? I'm sorry. Americans, we heard that.
Yeah.
We heard that. But not the other 300 million.
No. You didn't see it on the mainstream media.
You didn't see it on the mainstream media. No. Yeah. And that's the point.
So we're at 40 minutes. You want to call it a night here, Perry?
Yeah, I think we should before we start boring your listeners with all our stupid jokes to each other.
Anything to add?
The only thing I want to add, and I'll leave it on a serious note, we really do need to pray.
Amen.
And I said this going into the last days of last year, I said to you, I'm really scared. And I haven't stopped being scared. And when you look at all the pieces to the puzzle fitting in, it doesn't look like a bright tomorrow. And so it is a time for people to pray and to seek guidance from our Father in heaven and to do everything we can to prevent the world going into another time of darkness. It really is important.
Yeah.
And I want to leave it there.
Yeah, I think we're headed there. On a better note, keep your powder dry, folks, and prepare because something's going to happen before November. I'm not sure what it is, but let's do as Perry asks, and we should pray and turn this ship of state around so we have a brighter future. Because under Joe Biden here, it's not looking too good.
No, and to further that point, just look at all his minstrels within the hinterland doing his dirty work right now to try and remove Trump from seeking election.
Right, and starting World War III in Ukraine with Victoria Nuland. So
Yeah. God, I hate that name.
Yeah.
I hate that name. All righty, my friend. Thank you again for giving me the platform. And I look forward to us hopefully ending on a much happier note next week.
Yeah, let's do that. All right, man. Good to see you. Great to talk to you. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
See you. All right, there goes Perry. This is a Thursday edition of Tuesdays with Perry. We had trouble connecting this week. But we talked about a lot. We talked about property rights and squatters. And Armageddon, what's happening in Israel with the red heifers. And the rebuilding of the temple, apparently, was one of the reasons Hamas attacked Israel. And that was an interesting tidbit that Perry shared with us. We are being pushed to the brink of World War III. It's not like an if, but when. And we talked about Trump's bond coming up on Monday, Letitia James is already salivating over Trump Tower. I don't think she's going to seize Trump Tower. That's going to be bad politically for the Democrats. And we talked a little bit about Haiti, the history of Haiti, and the Tonton Macoute, Papa Doc, Baby Doc, and the history of that slave colony that revolted against France and started the first Black Republic in 1804. And nobody's helped them since, so we should help them for sure. All right, that's it for me. Tuesdays with Perry, episode 73. We'll see you next week. Peace out.